Let's continue our teachings, which we began last week. We titled it The Sayings of God, and we'll read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Let's quickly read that as a beginning for today. The book of Isaiah chapter 55, from verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Please notice that again. The wicked has ways, unrighteous man has thoughts. That is, unrighteousness is determined by a thinking pattern. He said, "And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That is, returning to the Lord is by changing his thoughts. That is the matter of unrighteousness. All right? He said, for verse 8, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." That is, the way you think affects the way you behave, declares the Lord. Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Now, these are the verses we read last time as introduction to our discussion on the subject of the sayings of God. Let me just take a few minutes to remind us of what we are discussing and what we said last time. I said that when God wants to create, he creates by speaking. Are you getting the point? That is, God does not go through the motions of man. What he does is to speak. If you go and read from Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Bible says, then God said, I said that what happens that God was determining what he wanted. And when that was complete in his heart, it overflowed in what sounded like speech. And Moses wrote it down as, "Let there be light." That God uttered, that his thoughts, when they became full, they were released and they created events on the earth. And I said to us last time that, like the Bible says, that God cannot lie. What he meant is that anything that God says, even if he thought it wasn't true, the moment he utters those things, they become true. Are you getting my point? So if God looks and says to you that you thought you were 6 feet, all right, 9 inches tall, and God says, no, you are only 5 feet tall. Next time you pick a ruler, you discover that you are exactly 5 feet tall. The power of his words, all right, will reduce your height to that 5 feet. And if you thought you were only 5 feet tall, and God says, no, you are 6 feet, 3 inches. Next time you pick a ruler, you discover that you are actually 6 feet, 3 inches. Not because God is manipulating you. Are you getting my point? God is not a human being. Doesn't deceive. What happens is that the power in his words creates whatever it is that he declares in the situation that it meets. All right? So that when we are going to change our lives into what God wants us to be. Now, remember what we said? That the thoughts of God was what erupted in words. And anything God wants to create, all right, he creates them through words. In fact, it said here, "So shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth and does not return until it has accomplished." Which means that every word of God is an assignment. Are you getting the point? Everything that God uttered has gone forth to create something. Everything God utters has gone forth to achieve a purpose. I said last time that God does not crack jokes. It does. It doesn't have the ability to crack our kind of jokes. I'm not saying that he does not laugh. I'm not saying that he doesn't say things that are funny. Are you getting my point? In fact, I was listening to Ken Hagin during the week. But I heard him say that several times. He said when the Lord appeared to him many years ago and gave him the anointing, all right, to heal the sick, he told him that I've placed the anointing in your hands. And he told him that I did not place it in your head, so don't lay your head on anybody. I did not place them in your feet, don't lay your feet on anybody. That's the kind of joke that God cracks. Are you getting my point? Because anything he utters must be true. Not because he's wishing them to be true, but the amount of power in him is that once he utters, things must conform to what he has uttered. Very, very crucial, we bear that in mind. So whatever God wants to do in your life, he has uttered them as words, and they will become real once you allow those words to enter into you. Do you get my point? He said, the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. That is, their lack of faith did not allow the word to produce. Not because the word was not able to produce, but because the people did not allow it enter so as to produce. And whatever it is that God determines to do in your life, if you let the word enter, it will produce. So what we're trying to do now in this our series, The Sayings of God, is just to discover what God has said. I'm not trying to teach in depth on each sin. I just want to tell you this is what he said. Are you getting my point? Because once you focus on that, it will come to pass in your life. That's just what I'm trying to get people to understand. It's a matter of focus. He said, be careful how you listen. If you remember, we were discussing at the beginning of the year, our series, Where Life Begins. That's what I tried to emphasize. If you are not there, then please get the whole series. About 6 or 7 or 8 of them, all right? There are different messages on where life begins. Talking about the power in the word of God. These things that I've been saying, I just that we can't say them enough. But so I'm not trying to teach about the power in the word of God now. I'm trying to just tell us what that word is. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? What is it that God has said about you? Because it's when you focus on that your life is transformed into what God wants it to be. The thoughts of God, all right? The ideas, the plans, everything that God is thinking about you is expressed in his words. Are you getting my point? Listen, God is not like, well, most people are, you don't know what they are thinking. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That is, on the surface, he's giving something to you. But as he's thinking in his heart, it's different. But that the real thing about him is as he's thinking in his heart. God is not like that. Everything that he has thought about you is expressed in words. And those words are not hidden. Are you getting my point? If you are careful to look for them, you will find them in the scriptures. That's what I'm saying. Now, don't forget this. Unrighteousness is determined by what? Thoughts. It's characterized by a thinking pattern. It's how people reason that tells you whether they are righteous or unrighteous people. So when the unrighteous man or the wicked man is returning to God, therefore it tells us that what he's returning concerning is in what? His thinking pattern. Is in his thoughts. And what I'm trying to do this time around is just to rearrange our thoughts by showing us what the thoughts of God are in some areas. As far as God helps us, we'll bring out the thoughts of God in different areas of life. Because it's as you adapt. No, let me not use the word adapt. Because there's something about spiritual things. You're not trying to change physically. You're just changing your what? Thinking pattern. And that's what differentiates one person from another. That's what makes a successful businessman and a failure of a businessman. Thinking pattern. Please get it clear. That's what, look, listen, two companies, everything identical apart from the person on top. I mean, I don't want to give the telecom company in Nigeria right now. Let me not mention names. But you know a particular company, you're thinking about it. They have a thinking pattern which we have decided, we've discussed before several times, you know, in small circles. And we have decided by observing their behavior, that anything that blesses and makes people happy, they can't do it. And when they introduced one special package recently, I told my wife, Mo, put money on that. You know what you say? Mo, bet. This is no go last 1 month. But at the end of 1 month, they scrapped it. How did I know? These guys, it's not their thinking pattern. And I said it long ago, they were on top, that there's no how, the way I see that they will not drop to number 2, number 3, number 4. It's just the thinking pattern. That's just the way life is. As a businessman, it's the way you think that's determining whether your business will succeed or will not succeed. It's not whether, oh God, I pray you get this. It's not whether you wake up early or go to bed late. Listen, it's just how you think. It's how you think. It's how you think. All right, I'm not discussing in details now, but bear that in mind. Whether your marriage will succeed or will not succeed is dependent on how you think. In fact, that's one area where God has allowed me a lot of insight just by observing people. In fact, my wife knows what I'm talking about. She has encountered many people. And when she sees a woman is thinking about her husband, or a husband is thinking about his wife, you will understand that this is the reason why this marriage will fail or will succeed. Just the way they think. Once a friend of mine was getting married, she just got married. I didn't know her so well. There was later we got to know each other a bit, my colleague. She was not telling me stories of things that happened then when she just got married. Some women in her department, they were telling her that, now you just got married. This is your time. Time for what? That your husband is still, you know, very excited over you now. Anything you want is now, he'll give it to you. So you take everything you want from him now. Can you see their thinking pattern? That their husbands will marry second wives. It's not possible. You can't have women thinking like that. And except the man is specially born again in special fashion, that he won't marry a second wife. A woman who thinks that is how I can get from this man. And you are married him. In business also, it's the same thing. If you don't have a giving thought pattern, it's going to crash your business one day. And many people, oh God, I'm sticking on this. I shouldn't. Let me just try and run away from it. All right? But this is the point. Let me just leave it there. All right? Your life will eventually manifest your thoughts. Are you getting my point? So when you say an unrighteous man is in the way he thinks. You know, I was thinking the other day, somebody was telling me about Nigeria police as it is today. And the same thing with Federal Receipt. How many times, somebody was saying, I can't remember who now. How many times has a policeman checked your particulars and when they are complete, he's happy. You see joy in his face. That good is a good citizen. Think about it. You know, Bishop and I were talking just now. One of our friends had an accident with the car, you know, and the car was damaged. Somebody's car failed, you know, brake or something. Anyways, so we're not discussing about Federal Receipt. As every time I get stopped on the express road by a Federal Receipt official, I'm angry. And it's righteous indignation. It's not impatience. Many of you know the car I drive. I asked the man, why on earth, if God is going to prosper your family, explain to me why you stopped me. My car is less than 3 years from the date of manufacture. There's nothing broken anywhere. And you stop me on the express road. I'm not overspeeding. I'm wearing my seatbelt. Why did you stop me? You want to check whether I have a fire extinguisher? I tell them all the time. If it catches fire, I have a wife, 4 children. I have a mother. Are you getting my point? I have Kingdom World Ministries people that don't want me to die. I'm not going to quench the fire. I'm going to run. Think I'm going to go against fire. I could just move backwards. Burn. Excuse to pray for another cup with the Lord. Say, Lord, it must be bigger. The glory of the latter. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But you see, what I'm trying to say is that, you see, there's a problem. That's one thing, as a Christian, you must remove yourself from it. What happens is that the man is not trying to make sure the law is obeyed. Because, in fact, his own is not about the law. His own is about safety. If he was concerned about safety, he wouldn't stop me. You know why? It's a waste of his time. Maybe only one or two people inside the car, both of them belted up. You, from a distance, you see this car has no fault. Yet you stop me. Why? You know what's going on. He's hoping I will infringe. He's hoping something will be out of order. So we'll start negotiating. It's what? A thinking pattern. That's what I'm trying to explain. What our lives will produce is how we think. How well you succeed in whatever you are doing is how you think. If you are going to walk, oh God, am I staying on this thing? Let me leave it. I'm trying to leave it. Yes, civil servant, you work for somebody, all right? You don't own your business, you work for somebody. How are you thinking about your boss? That's what God is using you to do. You know, Christians are very funny. Money answered all things. I can be useless and have a wrong thinking pattern. Just give part of the products to God. No, that doesn't guarantee you success. How are you thinking? That's what God is checking. But let me leave that, all right? So whatever it is you're thinking, what is our assignment for this season? To realign our thoughts. All right? And align them with the thoughts of God. God said, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Are you getting my point? And return to the Lord. What does it mean? Let him start thinking the thoughts of God. Let me say something to you. When we're talking about thinking, I'm going to start from there. There's a way you think about yourself. I'm going to start with that one. I want to tell you today how God thinks about you. I want every believer in Christ Jesus to know how God thinks about them. Because if God says to Israel, go and take the promised land, there's a way he's thinking about Israel. What is he saying? You are able to take the promised land. Are you getting my point? An angel showed up before Gideon and said, oh mighty man of what? Valor. That was how God was thinking concerning Gideon. Are you getting my point? But Gideon, was that how I was thinking? No. He wasn't thinking like that about himself at all. How was he thinking about himself? If the Midianites catch me, I'm dead meat. That's what he's thinking. So he's hiding. All right? He's hiding behind the rocks. He's stretching his grain in hidden places so that the Midianites won't attack him. But if only he could look into the heart of God and see how God is thinking about him, he won't hide from anybody. Do you get the point? I mean, the man wouldn't hide from anybody. When Israel was going to enter into the promised land, they had the wrong idea of how God was thinking about them. God looked at them and said, you can take the land. Why? Because God said, listen, I have my angels with you. I have my power working on your side. I have multitudes of angels working with you. So all God can see, all right? All God could see were victors. People who would take the land without any trouble. But not understanding that, they got there. Looked at a few giants and decided that we are not able to take that promised land. And if you remember Joshua and Caleb, they were thinking the way God was thinking. They understood God's perspective. He's with us. Therefore, though the giants are big, we know. But the land is good. Therefore, we can take the land because the Lord is with us. What's the difference? Some people didn't understand how God was thinking about them. Some people did. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are people who enter university. I've seen it before. What I'm telling you. I remember one sister once. I took her out on one with a stroll one evening to have some time to teach her the word of God. Because one day, I passed a comment. And the way she answered me, I knew she told herself, I am going to fail in this university. And I'm going to stay behind a few years more than God ordained that I should. I was shocked by that statement. It slipped out of her mouth. There was something we were talking about. So I went. You know, today I began preaching. I prepared a sermon. And I went and looked for her later. Good evening. Please, can I see you for a moment? I said, okay. She will finish in class and answer time. So I waited. Please, she now came out of class. I need to talk to you. Yesterday when we were talking, you said something. And I remember, I brought out the word of God and began to show how, now, I didn't have this understanding that I have now, but I began to show her what God thought about her and how she should think about herself. At the end of the admin, I spent like 40 minutes. I finished my sermon. She thanked me very well. And as God will have it, she did not have to fail and stay behind in school. I am persuaded, looking back now, that if God did not send me that day to go and preach that message, we're all students. If God didn't send me to go and preach that message, there's no how she would have failed in that school. She would have and stayed behind. Listen, what affects the way people think is usually history. I mean, what they have experienced before. And secondly, very importantly, what people told them in the past. Oh God, God has helped me and has helped you also and is helping you and is still helping me. Because one of the signs of what God has done in your life is what he will do in the lives of your children. I'm going somewhere. This afternoon, I was lying down on the bed, just trying to get ready for this meeting, just relaxing. Then my son walked into the room, my smallest boy. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but by the time I finished, I told him that, do you know you're a very good boy? You're a very handsome boy. And I talk to my children like that all the time. If you ask my daughter, in fact, sometimes she would dress, finish dressing, come and say, Daddy, see princess. She turned 5 years just a few days ago. She's used to it. She's used to it. That is, what I mean is that's how my wife and I talk to them. But not everybody has had this privilege. And I said, Pastor Bank, how come you know that? I'll tell you, it's from studying the word of God. Ken Hagin taught us those days. There's a small book titled Words by Ken Hagin. That book changed the way I use my tongue, especially with things that concern me. It did. I learned long ago, before I had children, that this is how I will talk to my children. The day they are born, I tell them things. Whether they can understand it or not, I tell them. And they're actually hearing. I'm not going to do the physiology of it now, but children hear. Scientists have found out that they hear in the mother's womb. Not a joke. They can recognize the mother's voice in the womb. They're not yet born. And they respond. Oh, God, you'll be amazed. I mean, if you've read enough, you know. Children respond so much to touch. When we're in school, those days, they said that if a set of twins are born premature and you nurse them separately, they don't do as well as if you nurse them together in the same cot. I don't know. I'm not sure if the correct understanding, but I think that they have found out that it's not just about being twins. It's just about touch. It's better for the mothers to cuddle the babies They do better. Their immunity is better. They resist diseases better. They live longer. I learned that long ago from the word of God. So I knew from the beginning that, you know, there are things I have never told my children. I mean, I've told other people and I repent. Amen? But I've never told my children you're a fool. Any one of them. Never. Look at this idiot. My children. God had to, through dreams and interpretation, help me to step telling other people. But long ago, I knew I couldn't tell my children. Maybe part of it was that I didn't think I was forming the lives of other people. Like, if you annoy me on the road, I will tell you, say, you know, tell you a bad word. Do you understand my point? But my children have never been able to annoy me to the point in which I will use those words against them. Why? I was taught long ago that it forms their life. It will kill a child's intelligence. And listen to me. No matter how poorly your child does in academics, never tell him he does not know anything. Never. Listen, life is bad too low. Please, you understand what I'm saying. He said, and the earth was without form and it was void. Children are given to you often without form and they are void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. God didn't say, ah, see darkness. Darkness. Ah, what thing I go do about this darkness? No, he said, this one, watch me. He looks at the darkness, decided what he wanted. Then it erupted in his voice. I'm so happy for the kind of children that God gave me. Because they vary widely in their behavior, the way they do get my everything. You know, some are very careful and ordered. My daughter used to like to just destroy things for the fun of it. But I'm bringing something. Where all of them will get to is the same. They will all be outstanding in life. They will all be super intelligent. Anything they put their hands to do, they will succeed. If they decide they want to be sports people, every sport they play, they will succeed. If they want to be musicians, they will succeed. If they want to be preachers, they will succeed. If they want to be doctors, they will succeed. Anything that enters into their heads, they will succeed. Why? I've determined it. By prayer and the word of God. And no matter how you behave, you don't change my mind. If I send you to school, you are doing 5 subjects and you fail 5. I will still remind you that you are an intelligent child. I will still remind you that you are not a failure. I will remind you that before you were born, I discussed with the Lord that he's not giving me an idiot. Yes? He's not giving me a failure. So you can't prove me wrong. I will remind you that you are very handsome. You are outstanding. You can misbehave all you want. It was determined before you were born. Are you getting my point? But a lot of us, let me get back to my message. We're not brought up like that. I was in a house once. I went to visit. And the woman of the house was teaching the little boy. You know, the boy was not doing very well. So she was really on him and all of that. Then one day, so after that, we're now chatting, you know. She now said something that one day she was teaching the boy like that. And the father just answered and said, leave him, he does not know anything. She almost ate her husband up that day. But I remember I thought to myself, about my child, I can't say that. The only thing that the guy can make me do is I will get up and start prophesying. I will prophesy out of anger. You understand my point? In the name of Jesus Christ, you go know this book. You go know. Look, the ganglia and the axons in your brain, they will start rearranging. I'm telling you. But a lot of people didn't know that, all right? So they've spoken negative words about their children. Many of us came from that background. Especially you have an elder brother who is very smart. That's your problem in life. Look at your brother, look at your brother. Or you have a cousin that's hyper-shining. You know what I'm saying? Are you not mates? Are you not mates? Fathers do it too, but mothers are the experts. What you are doing, you are telling the child that he's inferior to other people. You don't know what you are doing. You're drumming into his mind, her mind, you're not good, you're bad. I like the way I talk to my children. My wife and I, we talk to them. They do something wrong. I say, is that a Jesus boy behavior? That is, apart from just telling the thing is wrong, I tell you, that's not your character. Are you getting my point? So the child will not, will shake his or her head. No. Is that a Jesus boy behavior? No. Is that a Jesus girl behavior? No. How does a Jesus boy behave? If I like the one that my children brought from school. Is that how to be in the Lord's army? Are you in the Lord's army? Yes. If I remember one day I made my son sing the song. Are you in the Lord's army? That's how I will answer him. I will ask him, are you in the Lord's army? Answer me, say, yes, sir. Are you in the Lord's army? Yes, sir. He brought the song from school. And I used it to terrorize him. That is, he must know he's in the Lord's army. But many people are taught as if they're in the devil's army. Not even in the advancing army of the devil, the rejected, wounded army that can't do anything. And many of us grew up like that. That's where I'm going to. And those things have formed our way of thinking. And listen to me. They are subconscious. Are you getting my point? It's not as if you wake up and say, eh, can you see how stupid I am? I'm an idiot too. No. You actually think you're trying. But something, there's a law in your members fighting all your efforts. There was one professor in my university, a retired man now. One of my friends told me what he said once. That this is the difference between a smart student and a dull student. Of course, there must be many other differences, but this was the one he highlighted. That when you ask a question, let's say 2 plus 2 minus 3. And I gave a very simple mathematical difficulty there so that we can easily solve it, all right? So the answer is obviously 1, all right? He said a small student calculates 2 plus 2, 4 minus 3, 1, and it tells you 1. That a poor student calculates 2 plus 2, 4 minus 3, 1. Okay? Because I'm a poor student, that one must be wrong. So he says, since one must be wrong, why? I'm a poor student. I'm a bad student. I don't know anything. So anything I come to by calculating is wrong. Therefore, you ask him, 2 plus 2 minus 3 tells you 2. The first answer was 1. But there is a law in his members that reminds him that he's inferior to everybody else. So that thing tells him, don't say 1, no, don't say 1. This is a matter of fact. A lot of people, that's a kind of spirit that's disturbing them. When you see the word spirit in the scriptures, please let me remind you again. It's not just talking about the Holy Spirit or an angel or evil spirit. Spirit sometimes is just something that has been formed inside the mind, the heart of a man, of a woman. For example, you hear the spirit maybe of covetousness. A young woman was brought up to believe that the more money you have in life, the better your life. That births into him a spirit of covetousness. Now, evil, the kind of spirit you create like that now decides the kind of real spirits that come in. Evil spirits jump into that. But if you have the correct spirit, you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Are you getting my point? So when people have the spirit of failure, that's what I'm saying, the spirit of inferiority, are you getting me? Created by their parents. And listen, everybody makes mistakes in life. Are you getting my point? Yes. Everybody. Albert Einstein didn't have a reputation as being an intelligent child. He did not have it. He did not have it. Most people who had the reputation of being intelligent as children, you never knew of them as adults. They disappeared amongst the many children. The ones that come out outstanding later on in life, they don't have fantastic childhood. Most of people, so what I'm going to say is that, so your child bungles a number of times, so what? You bungle a number of times? The problem is when Satan, what did I say? Satan now starts helping the father and the mother to amplify the errors of the child. Look at you. You can never be arranged in your life.